This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Although today in India, they are, you know, hailed as heroes, some sort of historic heroes, and movies are being made about them, but they were the most destructive force India has ever seen. They did not discriminate between Hindus and Muslims when they committed atrocities. They were known for their destruction and wanton looting and raping and pillaging. No one could look at India. In fact, the British East India Company had a small dispute with the Mughals when Aurangzeb Alamgir was the emperor. They tried to mess with the Mughals, and then Aurangzeb taught them a lesson. He sent an army, and that army taught the East India Company a good lesson, and then they all came down to their knees and they said, please forgive us, let us continue trading. This is well documented historically. So they didn't mess with the Mughals again until they found their chance 50 years later, right? So these posts were established and the British were buying their time. They were doing the trading, spices, clothes, and they were getting richer and richer by the day. They had a good system going, right? But then there were rivals as well. There were the Dutch. The Portuguese had taken Goa on western coast of India. And the Dutch were also around. The French had also taken some spots in India. So there was rivalry between European powers. And they continued to fight each other for a very long time. But why did the British come on top? Is because the British managed to get their hands on Bengal. They got the richest province in India. So after the Mughal Empire lost its influence, mainly because of a Persian invasion in 1739, when the Persian ruler, at the time Nadir Shah, invaded Mughal India and devastated the city of Delhi. So the spine of the Mughals was broken, unfortunately. They lost their prestige, they lost their ru'ab, they lost their influence. And since then, from 1739 onwards, the Mughals went down very, very fast. To the extent that nearly 20 years later, many rebellions happened. Many territories in India were lost from, the Mughals lost these territories. Marathas in central India, they started to take territories. Marathas were a group of Hindus, very destructive, very, very destructive. Although today in India, they are, hailed as heroes, some sort of historic heroes, and movies are being made about them. But they were the most destructive force India has ever seen. They did not discriminate between Hindus and Muslims when they committed atrocities. They were known for their destruction and wanton looting and raping and pillaging. They did not ask questions before they raped women. They raped Muslim and Hindu women equally. Marathas, who are hailed as heroes today in the movies, BJP, the current ruling party in India, is trying to create heroes while they don't exist, where they don't exist. They're trying to create heroes because the heroes don't exist. They're trying to fake heroes. They recently made another movie called Prithviraj Chauhan, all based upon fictional accounts, no history. There's no history there. Even the movie they made on the Marathas and Ahmad Shah Abdali, Panipat, is full of, it makes you, any historian who's a serious student of history, it will make his blood boil when you watch a movie like that. So Marathas, they started to rise. So long as Aurangzeb was alive, they did not succeed in taking territories. They were fighting a guerrilla war against the Mughals. No doubt they caused a lot of damage to the Mughals, but they could not take territory so long as Aurangzeb was alive. Aurangzeb died. His children could not hold on to power for whatever reason, another topic. But then the Marathas in the mid-18th century start to come up as a huge power and a destructive power. Then the Sikhs start to take the Punjab. A lot of the territory in the Punjab region is taken by the Sikhs. Okay, which is another history in itself. What happened in the Punjab? Then we have the Jats. The Jats are taking, again, another Hindu entity, taking a lot of territory. This is all happening in the mid-18th century, 1750s, 1740s, 50s, 60s. Okay, these two decades, very, very important. A lot happened in these two decades, right? And then the British, looking at all this in Calcutta and Madras and Surat, they're thinking, hold on a second, India is fair game. India is free for all. All of these groups are taking territory. Why the hell are we waiting? What are we waiting for? So under the guise of, basically the pretext of creating a private military to protect their own factories and or their own interests, they started to hire a private militia. And they started to train this military, mostly consisting of Indians, right? So they had a private military. While in India, a lot was happening at that time. Shah Waliullah Dehlavi in Delhi was watching all of this, a scholar of Islam, a very, very big scholar of Islam, Shah Waliullah Dehlavi. He saw what the Marathas were doing. Marathas were devastating Muslim territories. They were destroying Muslim villages, Muslim cities, Muslim, they were invading and they were charging Chauth. Chauth was a tax they were charging. Chauth literally means one-fourth. One-fourth, right? So they would come into your territory and they would say, okay, where is our Chauth? Chauth, literally, basically, Chautha, from the word, Chautha, from the word four, right? So they were basically charging 25% tax on anything. And if you didn't pay, they would come and kill everyone, burn everything, rape everything. Okay, so Shah Waliullah, looking at the situation, he wrote letters to the King of Afghanistan, Ahmed Shah Abdali, and he asked him to come and rescue the Muslims of India. Long story short, okay, plus Shah Waliullah had his own people pushing for this conflict because he wanted a conflict with the Marathas. He wanted to break the Marathas once and for all, and they succeeded. So in 1761, there was a battle called the Battle of Panipat. In a place called Panipat, the Marathas were decimated in this battle by the Afghan coalition. These were Afghan rulers within India and from without India, from Afghanistan. So the ruler of Afghanistan at the time, Ahmed Shah Abdali, he came to India with his military, and then local Afghan rulers from northern India, such as the Nawab or the ruler of Rohilkhand and Nawab Najibuddaula, the ruler of Najibabad, okay, who was also the prime minister, the Mughal prime minister at the time, all of these people, they joined hands, and Nawab Shuja'ud-Dawla, who was actually Shia, who was from the Persian stock, but the Afghans somehow convinced him to join them, because the Afghans told him that if you don't join us, you will have to join the Marathas. And if we win the war, you will not be spared. But if you join us, okay, and if we win, then you will be safe. So he had to make his calculations, despite the fact that he was a Shia and he didn't want to join the Sunni Afghans, but he joined for his own survival. And this was a huge, you can say, a Muslim coalition that fought the Marathas, and the Marathas were completely decimated in 1761. This is what happened. On the other side, in Bengal, when Mughals had lost power at center, a lot of these Nawabs, governors, Mughal rulers, they announced their independence from the center. They announced their own states. And this is why princely states in India came about. You hear the names of these states today, Bahawalpur, the state of Bahawalpur in current day Pakistan, or the state of Bhopal, okay, or the state of Hyderabad in southern India, one of the richest states in the world, okay. The richest man in the world was Mir Usman, who was the ruler of Hyderabad in the 1940s. Okay, so these states, princely states, came about as a result of the decline and the fall of the Mughal Empire. So the Mughals had declined at the center. The Mughal emperor had lost his power. Many sat on the throne and were either killed or moved from the throne by force. So this young Mughal prince came to the throne. His name was Ali Gauhar, also known as Shah Alam II, right? And I cannot tell his entire story here, because that will be another lecture in itself. but I will mention him just passingly. He was the Mughal emperor on the throne when the British took the land of Bengal. And he himself was struggling to come to power. He could not handle the situation around him, and he could not consolidate the Mughal power to his benefit. Rather, he was losing more and more to all these factions who were arising in different regions at different times. So the British, they, to defend their interests in Bengal, the Nawab at the time was a young man who was very corrupt. I mean, for, I don't know why, for some reason in the histories of Pakistan and Bangladesh, he is seen as a hero. Nawab Sirajuddaulah, he was actually a villain. He was actually a villain. He was not a good person. He was not a good man. In fact, he's one of the reasons why Bengal was lost to the British, right? So he had a vizier called Mir Jafar. So Mir Jafar was disgruntled. He was not happy with the Nawab, the young Nawab who was a despot. So he pressed for taxes from the British. So the British said, okay, no taxes.